Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast and on video, it's Stephen Cookland, CEO and founder of Manolet Partners. M-A-N-O is ticker. Stephen, thanks for joining me.
Good afternoon, Justin.
Now, I want to be in contact because you released a trading update, and I think huge potential for recovery play. I have to be transparent. I bought some shares off the back of that trading update because I just think lots of good things are going on. I think it was missed by the market a little bit. But before we get into that trading update, Stephen, for people maybe not familiar with the business, can you give us a brief overview of Manolet Partners, please?
Absolutely. So we are the UK's largest financier of UK insolvency litigation claims. And most of these claims we buy rather than fund, which is what our peer group tend to do. Your Burford's Litigation, Capital Management, Omni Bridgeway, they're funding a third party. We're actually buying the claim, which is a big difference. So we there were some market reports done a few years ago, Professor Peter Walton, he put us at about a 70% market leader of this market. Next biggest, about 3-4%. So we're the big silverback ape in this market.
Yeah. And give us an example of the kind of cases you take on.
Yeah, sure. So there are just seven insolvency litigation types of claims. I might run through those very quickly and then give an example of one. Yeah. But I think this is quite a differentiator to other listed peers, because they'll be doing cases in Argentina, Hong Kong, Singapore, America, UK, all over the place, where the law is very, very different, obviously, in each one of those jurisdictions, and rightly so. Mm-hmm. Ours are purely UK, and they cover seven typical sins, which, first of all, overdrawn directors' loan accounts that haven't been paid when the company goes bust, mm-hmm. A transaction at undervalue. So quite often, sadly, directors will transfer the business out of the company and then call the liquidators in, leaving the creditors high and dry. Wrongful trading, which they're personally liable for. Breach of contract, which could be anything. Unlawful dividends. So when you've not got retained profits and your dividend, that's got to come back. The law's very strict on that. Preferences. So again, just before you go bust, the company pays back the director's mother's loan that she made 5 years ago, whereas that should be spread equally between creditors. And then finally, a kind of catch-all misfeasance, kind of breach of duty. So just to give an example, directors' loan accounts, they're the biggest, about 25% of the cases we do are DLAs. And a lot of directors of SMEs in the UK will run their lifestyles through the company, which is actually perfectly okay, as that builds up a big director's loan account. So that could be, the company's paid for the director's new kitchen, paid for the kids' Arsenal season tickets, paid for the kids' school fees. All of that we see going through. But at the end of the year, that director's loan account, let's say, is up to £400,000. Maybe that's been built up over several years. The company goes bust. That is a debt to the company as much as any other debt is due to the company. But of course, a lot of directors don't realise the difference between the legal entity of them personally and the company as a separate entity. So, that classic case.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, on your website, you've got there, you mentioned that you have over 350 live cases, 90% of them are purchased rather than funded, as you just mentioned. So just explain for people who don't understand this, and they say you're the biggest player in the market here. What's the difference between funding and actually purchasing these cases?
Very good. So I'm going to do a little bit of a history lesson here. So I'm going to take you back to the Middle Ages, baronial times. We've got Baron Waite here, which is young Baron Crooklyn here. If I funded financed your peasants on your land to rebel against you so I can take over your land, that'd be grossly unfair. Now, that was called champerty and maintenance. So in the annals of common law, it is unenforceable if someone has financed someone else's third party, so the peasant's claim, if you like, against you. So the one override to that is insolvency. So Insolvency Act 1986, a specific override to the common law edicts of champerty and maintenance, because the liquidator comes in, the administrator comes in, the trustee in bankruptcy comes in, and his sole purpose is to get as much money for the creditors so he can sell the legal claims as well as the fixed assets, as well as the sales book and the IT, you know, intellectual property. He can sell the legal claims. Mm-hmm. Now, for example, if I go outside, I trip on a paving stone, I break my leg, I've got a £15,000 claim against the county council, I can't say to you, Justin, I haven't got the money to run that. Do you want to buy that off me? You know, can you imagine the madness of the world if that was allowed? So it's only an insolvency that you can buy the right to sue X, Y, Z.
Okay, I understand. So let's go to this trading update that caught my eye. 18th of April released it. It's a trade and business update. The year ended the 31st of March, this was. And you state the business has seen strong momentum and a return to profit. But I've got to point out, it's been almost a perfect storm for you over the last 2 years. Share price has been under pressure, and the business has as well. And explain the background of this, if you could, because now it's almost completely reversed.
Right, that's exactly right. So it's all about COVID, really. So in June, take it back, March 2020, you know, COVID broke. June 2020, the government rushed through some really wartime legislation that made it very, very difficult for companies to be pushed into insolvency by their creditors. So they were suppressing the number of insolvencies very artificially for 2 years, in fact. So the insolvency numbers went flying down. Why did the government do that? Well, perfectly understandably, there would have been mass unemployment during COVID otherwise. It would have been a very difficult time. So, as I say, 2 years, these laws came back to normal in April 2022. But of course, it takes time for companies to put up the white flag, get in a liquidator to look at all the possible claims, you know, what went on in the company, and then to come to us and say, we've got these claims, would you like to buy them? And we're now seeing the direct diametric opposite of that. The insolvency numbers are now at record levels, highest number for 30 years, highest number of creditor voluntary liquidations since 1960. And those aren't my words, those are the words of the Insolvency Service, part of the government. So what's happened there? All that COVID support from the government, about £500 billion, has been withdrawn. All that liquidity, which I think personally is why interest rates and inflation part of the reason why interest rates and inflation got so out of hand. You've then got the supply chain problems of Ukraine, the Middle East issues, obviously very sadly with in Gaza. And so really you've got a perfect storm that has led to these record level, 30-year record levels of insolvencies in the UK.
Like I say, completely flipped. I mean, COVID, if there wasn't any government support, you know, more businesses would have gone through than normal. And now you've got the follow-on, like you say, from, you know, inflation, high interest rates, meaning even more businesses going through. And now you've got the support being withdrawn from the government. So, like I said, now you're having record cases. So let's talk about the trading update. Take us through some of the highlights, if you could, Stephen.
Sure. So number of case investments. So last year, as we came out of this COVID suppression, we hit a record number of investment, 263 cases bought in 1 year. So there's about 250 business days in a year. Manolet was buying a new case, investing in a new case, one case a day, which is really quite remarkable. So a very different model to these global funders, who are maybe doing, you know, a handful, 10, 20 cases a year, and maybe completing just three or four. Our model is much more granular and diversified. So this year, we actually beat last year's record by 18%. We hit 311 new case investments. So so that was great. New case inquiries coming through, which is, it's like a funnel. You get the inquiry, we review them. We take on about 30% of the cases we review. That's much higher than the norm in litigation funding, which is about 4% when you look at Burford, litigation capital management, etc. Why is Manolet so much higher? It's because it's the same type of claim, what we were talking about 10 minutes earlier. We know what we're looking for. If number of case inquiries, again, was a new record, which was fantastic, up to 731. This year has started very much on the same track as that. And then, of course, case completions. So, again, remember that 250 business days a year as a rough estimate. This most recent financial year, we completed 251 cases. So, again, not only buying a case a day, we're completing a legal case a day, which is it's an amazing machine that's been built up. The interesting point that we draw out in the trading update is the average value per completion is down to 96, and there's a very good £96,000 per case. And go back to pre-COVID, that was double that number, and this is a huge opportunity when you really get into this level. Now, the reason why it was the volume was very high, but the value was lower, was because the average case size is lower, because as those COVID supports got taken away, these zombie small companies fell over first. You know, bigger companies got bigger balance sheet, more options with banks and debtor books, etc., to re-up shareholders, to refinance. But it's the small and the weak that fall over first. And what we make a very big point of is that is changing in this current year. So in the first half of this latest financial year, we only had 9 plus size case investments. These tend to be the administrations of bigger companies. In the second half, there were more than double that. So the market is now reforming as it evolves through this emergence from COVID, that it's not just the small cases coming through, it's the mediums and the bigs that are coming through, much more like the profile we were used to pre-COVID.
Yeah. So essentially, it's got lots of volume, but also now you're saying that the size, the value of those cases are now creeping back up. So, of course, that's exactly what you want, isn't it, really?
March, the last trading month of the financial year, March, we completed 28 cases in that month. But three of them were biggies. 6 million of the 6.6 million settlements were from just three cases. And the cash that came in April, the next month, was 4.7 million from those cases. So this transforms us in a very big way. I see the small cases as a kind of bread and butter, churning over, you know, very high margin case, done very quickly. But the bigger cases, the medium and the bigger cases, add really sizable profit and cash to the machine.
Yeah. Can you explain, by the way, in the trading update, you talk about, gross cash recoveries. Yes. Can you explain that and say how they're progressing, please?
Absolutely. So, again, we hit a record number. Last year, we had one biggie for £9.5 million. We've excluded that because it was a one-off. So we hit £18.2 million of cash, of gross cash in the year. And what we mean by that is gross cash, that is the total settlement value, including costs and interest and everything that's come from those single cases. Now, what's going to come out of that, we need to get our costs back first, which is about 15% of the gross. Mm-hmm. We then split the remainder 50-50 with the creditors. That's the basic model. There's variations around these, of course, but that's the generalized model. So when you look at the gross number, if you take about 60% of that, that would be Manley's retained net cash from those.
I'm just looking back, actually, and are you getting towards, like you say, you are normalising now? Because I was looking back at your figures for 2022, end of year there, and like your pre-tax profit margins are like 22%. They're great margins.
Yeah, indeed. And we're tracking back to that. But as I say, without the right mix of cases, the mediums and the biggers, we weren't going to get back to that, but we're now seeing that come back very, very strongly indeed.
Yeah, yeah. What's interesting is having been hampered by, you know, the government support for COVID for businesses that would have gone through, would have gone bust, but didn't. But now you're on almost the other side of it. Explain about you're actively involved in the bounce back loans. What's happening there? Explain that if you could.
Yes, of course. So during the support period of COVID, the government lent out very, very quickly £51 billion to SMEs on government guaranteed loans to companies with no personal guarantees from the directors at all, of £51 billion. And this was done in a very fast three-month period. What's happened is... The government tracks every quarter the performance of those loans, and the latest update was that over eight billion of those loans have gone bad. They've had to pay out to the banks who made those loans the guarantee, and of that 8.1 billion, 1.25 billion was fraudulent, in the government's own words. So people were. Lying about it. It was self-certified, the company. It did a lot of good because a lot of liquidity came in, saved a lot of people jobs, etc. But you imagine, you know, construction companies and leisure companies just shut completely. But there was an awful lot of misfeasance around these. So we had already been working on a bunch of these liquidations. So a lot of the directors, when they realised that the COVID support was over, their businesses were permanently unviable. They put them into liquidation, but they'd taken out that bounce back loan into their own pocket personally, much like the director's loan account that I was talking about earlier. And of course, that's a debt back to the company. So we were already doing a lot of those. Barclays then came out of nowhere and said, look, we're working with the government, the British Business Bank. We were the biggest supplier of these bounce back loans. So we did a pilot for them, about 100 cases, which have gone incredibly well. And we are very interested to see how that market develops. You can imagine with the British Business Bank, the Cabinet Office, big banks involved. The politics of this and decision making takes time to go through. But I think clearly with the pilot performing so well, I think Manley is well positioned if, and I stress if, more recovery action is taken.
Yeah, exactly. And I suppose it's quite obvious the answer to this question, but you are taking on more staff. Why?
So 24% increase in staff in the last financial year, clearly to deal with these, not just bounce back loans, of course, but the general increase in the case volumes of new cases coming in, cases completing, much far completions, about 95% of positive completions at Manley are done at mediation, where we're sitting down with the directors face to face and doing a deal. Very, very few. In fact, it's less than 3% go to trial in a court. Okay. So these are our people. You know, our head of legal today, and at the end of last week, she sat today in a mediation. And these can take an hour, they can take the whole day. But, you know, you walk away, you get a signed, legally binding agreement, and the directors agree to pay that money. We put not a charge over his house, a restriction over his house. If he doesn't pay up in the time agreed, then we take very rapid enforcement action, etc.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, and in the trading update, worth touching on the figures here, you give an overview of revenue and profit estimate for the full year 2024. Take us through that, if you could, Stephen.
Sure. So obviously subject to audit, of course. So revenues, 26.3 million, strongly increased from the 20.8 million the year before. Very importantly, 96% of those are realised revenues. You'll remember just in this big debate around all litigation finance companies about unrealised and realised fair values, etc. So 96% of those revenues were completed fully legally binding cases. Mm-hmm. And just 4% unrealised. The PBIT estimate from a loss last year, obviously coming out of COVID, was very, very difficult. So we made a loss, our first ever loss of 3.1 million. But we're forecasting for this year, estimating, I should say, for this year just past two and a half million back into profit at the PBIT level.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And just touch on, you've got net debt of 12.25 and now you're generating cash again. I'm assuming you're aiming to chip away at that. And what kind of facility do you have there?
Indeed. So we spent quite a bit of time with HSBC over these last few months leading up to the year end, because we had a facility for 25 million that crept up from 10 million pre-IPO, 15, 2025. We'd only ever used about half of that at any one stage. So if you look at the interims of September 23, we had net debt of 12 million. Despite all this massive increase in new cases, our net debt at the year end, March 24, is just 12.25. So you imagine the amount. So the cash generation coming in on cases is exceeding all the operating costs yet again, and financing most of the acquisition of new cases. So that's great. So why pay for a facility at very high interest rates now that you're not using? So that made great sense. And as I mentioned before, on the back of that very strong final month of the trading year, March, the 6.6 million, we've already recovered in cash in April 4.6 million. I said 4.7 earlier, 4.6 million of cash from some of those cases. So we repaid HSBC a chunk of money this month, about £1 million. So we think that's very comfortable, very efficient. We're not paying for stuff we don't need. We're much happier with the position now.
Yeah. Well, and just take us through, you know, the outlook for this year, the rest of this year and beyond. Do you see this now as are you quite confident you're on for a bona fide recovery here?
So I sound like Dr. Death when I go through this, but when you look at conditions, not only for the UK, but also for Europe and worldwide, interest rates may come down in stages and probably baby steps later this year. The stress on companies, the huge change in appetite from banks, they're being much more restrictive on lending. The withdrawal of that £500 trillion of liquidity that the government put in during COVID, and then of course the supply chain issues that we spoke about earlier, all of that we think over the medium to longer term, let alone the short term, really sets the perfect storm for Manolete. I don't say that with complete glee, because of course for many companies it will be very, very testing time.
Yeah, well, no, absolutely. I mean, we can see that the economy, the UK, sort of dipped into recession, but it's not as if we're growing at a fast pace here. We're almost flatlining, and you can understand, interest rates and inflation taking a hit on businesses. And I think I read somewhere coming out of a recession where most businesses tend to fail. And
it's working capital kills. Yeah.
That's very interesting. So I'd advise people to check out the trading update, and hopefully your results come out very soon or in the next month or so. When is that, Stephen?
Well, we bought this case in February off an RSM liquidator in London, a £15 million claim. Now, our auditors are also RSM. So we had a conversation with them around the year end. They said, look, our independence with such a large claim ongoing is not in the ideal place. So we agreed we should change. We got a new auditor on board very quickly, Gravita, a top 15 auditor of AIM companies. So they are digging into the work very impressively. We'll send an update as soon as we know exactly when the date for results release will be.
Yeah, yeah, excellent stuff. And one other thing is, I mean, you know, worth checking. Well, before we came on, I was checking up the shareholder register. I knew you had a decent chunk of skin in the game, but some very well-heeled investors are backing Manley as well, aren't they? I don't know if you can mention any, but they're on the site.
Money.
It's worth checking out. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Well, public record. So John Walton is... has been at the company since 2012. He's on record as saying this has been his single most successful private investment ever, which I think with his stellar career is really saying something. So he had invested on five, six occasions in the lead up to IPO. He bought more in the company post IPO. He's very close to that 30%, so obviously he's got to stop there. The other interesting shareholder that came really out of the blue was at the time Burford's biggest institutional shareholder, Sir Mithaq, Saudi Arabian high net worth group. They're very, very long term investors, very, very smart players, and very, very well connected with investment professionals in USA, etc. So they've been an absolute joy as well.
Yeah, excellent stuff. Well, Stephen, it's good to chat to you, and hopefully, once your final results are out, we'll catch up again, hopefully. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.